And now it's my privilege to invite Mary Mace. We know her so well and appreciate you, Mary. Would you do the patriotic reading for us this morning?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the United States of America. I was born on July the 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed people of the world. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I am millions of living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. When freedom called, I answered and stayed until it was over there. I left my heroic dead on the fields of Corregidor, the bleak slopes of Korea, the steaming jungles of Vietnam, and of course in Iraq and Afghanistan. I am big. I sprawl from the Pacific to the ocean to the Atlantic. My arms reach out to embrace Alaska and Hawaii. I am forest, field, mountain, desert, and quaint villages and cities that never sleep. I am many schools and colleges. I am many churches where my people worship God as they seem fit. I am a ballot in a box. I am a roar of a crowd in a stadium. I am the voice of a choir in a cathedral. I am an editorial in a newspaper and a letter to the congressman. I am Old Glory, stars and stripes, 50 shining stars, one for every state. And I am on the moon. I am the flag of the USA. Yes, I am the nation, and these are some of the things that I am. I was conceived in freedom, and God willing, I will spend the rest of my days in freedom. May I possess always the integrity, the courage, and the strength to keep myself unshackled and remain a citadel of freedom and a beacon of hope to the world. I am the United States of America, the great country in the world. And happy birthday, America.
I just want to say, Mary, you've been in the entire first service. You're welcome to stay, but you may follow the example if you felt that two may just be one too many. We appreciate you, Mary. Our scripture reading from the New Testament, from Matthew 11, verses 25 through 30. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation, coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When I first read, "Learn the Unforced Rhythms of Grace," I must confess it was about 2 weeks ago that it really caught my attention. And you wouldn't believe it, but I found myself pondering, thinking, trying to understand, looked up every dictionary I could find because my English explanations are not always firsthand. And finally I thought, amazing grace, I'm beginning to understand. Beauty, beauty, scripture. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. My friends, brothers, sisters in Christ, many eyes filled with tears, and our hearts filled with horror and sympathy, while the entire world witnessed the after-election catastrophe in Iran. Horrible images that some of us will carry with us for a long time. People seeking freedom of expression, free speech, liberty, being killed, being murdered by a lack of the freedom that you and I enjoy. During times when dictators gain power, human rights disappear and injustice rule, then we as Americans proudly celebrate our Constitution and our independence. As you heard this morning while in Grand Rapids the past week, as part of a crowd of almost 4,000 fellow members of the United Church of Christ, I was so very proud of being a part of a denomination. Minister that I do not know was sitting in front of us, and at one point during the presentation of who we are as a church, he turned around and he whispered, "Are you also proud to belong to the United Church of Christ?" And we all nodded yes. It was so beautiful. Proud to be part of a church that reaches out to the ends of the world with love and care for the underprivileged, for those who are longing for liberty, choosing sides for all who suffer discrimination, those who speak and speak for those who have no voice in our societies, not only here but wherever in the world. Now, if I am to ask the question, what is freedom? I know that we would hear different responses. Definitions of freedom is really so unique that very few people have exactly the same concept. Politically speaking, one can say that sadly, the majority of people on earth are not free. They're not Americans. They don't have our privileges. And there is a lack of liberty almost across the globe. What does freedom, liberty, mean for you, for me, for us? For many, freedom simply means the avoidance of all responsibility, or maybe the elimination of all constraints. Maybe to do one's own thing without any regard to the effect on others or society. Yes, we even add some confusing concepts of our own, and therefore we harass the new groom on the day of his wedding as we tell him that his freedom, his liberty, is now over forever. Now, some stressed out parents, if not all of them, think of freedom as the day when the last chick has flown from the nest. Oh, the day when the kids do their own thing. I will be okay. Till then, pray for us. And as taxpayers, we give in to the temptation to tell some sour jokes against the IRS. As weary homeowners, many dream of retiring to a condominium with no grass to mow. So, freedom for many, maybe most of us, is simply a way of wanting to have an absence of responsibility. How many things I'm expected to do, I have to do. Is it freedom if I can just shed them and move on? No, because whenever we think about this, we realize that it's all a lie. True freedom is never the absence of responsibility. Such liberty, such freedom claimed by all would turn the world and our lives into a living hell. We only have to look about our own society to see what so-called freedom from responsibility has done to many people. Moral bankruptcy and monumental misery follow in the wake of freedom without responsibility. So maybe it is worthwhile as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, to compare our concepts of freedom and liberty with that which Jesus taught so many years ago. Now, I must point out to you that Jesus was not a politician, and he was not always politically correct. One thing about Jesus, you could depend that you would hear the truth when he spoke. He never recommended a specific political system to the people of his time, or for the people of all times. He never really laid down a series of rules and regulations. You can interpret that he even pointed to the Hebrew Testament and say, yeah, I'll tell you what, there are so many rules, there are so many regulations, I'll tell you what, let us love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. And let us look around us and love others as we do ourselves, and you will find it impossible to break the rules of antiquity. That was Jesus, summarized, coming straight to God-honest truth. He understood the sad and tired condition of the masses around him. He knew how they were oppressed by the cruel Roman Empire. He saw the massacres. He would become a victim himself. So he extended an invitation, spoke words that would become a cornerstone and quoted whenever we speak of the teachings of Jesus. Listen to his invitation in Matthew 11. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. What does it mean coming to Jesus? Now maybe as a young minister I was a bit over enthusiastic. And I was also ordained in a church where an altar call was regularly done. And I've seen masses stream down on an altar call. Did they come to Jesus? No. Some of them did. I cannot judge. But I did come to understand that an outward standing up and walking an aisle and so-called coming to Jesus is not part of knowing God in and through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, come to me and I'll recover your life. And you can do and respond to so many altar calls. But if something doesn't touch and change you from the inside, nothing will happen. Coming to Jesus simply means that all those united with Christ will along the way get to know and walk and discover the road to real liberty. To real freedom. A freedom that no tyrant can ever take away. And then I realized how electrifying these words were. You know, this invitation is not a religious slogan. Many of us listening now and understand and appreciate the power of our faith. We enjoy to tell how we recovered our lives by getting away with Jesus. Many of us experienced the truth of His promise that we would discover real peace and real rest inside and new direction. Jesus further says, walk with me. And work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced? That I understand. Nobody compel me to do it. Nobody says I must. Unforced rhythms, something that happens unexpectedly, but makes so much sense. Rhythms of God's grace. It fills one with beauty because we can tell our life stories, many of us, and we can tell the world what a friend we have in Jesus, what a great God we have, how we bathe in the sunlight of His glory, how we walk in the light that He holds before us. How He comes deep inside and turn us around till we sense the presence of God. That's why we so much love to sing about God's amazing grace. That's why we say how sweet the sound that even saved a wretch like me. How we rejoice in God's gift to all who would open themselves to real and lasting communication with God. There is no coercion or force in religion. And those who were trying to scare us with hell to say that if we do not follow God, especially in the way that they prescribe, were lying to us and they robbed Christianity of a part of its strong message in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, not knowing God. Yes, not walking the path in the sure knowledge that your Savior lives and that God is alive and ever present, does mean hell. Oh, I've crossed paths with many people who tried and maybe never believed that God lives, that God is alive. I've seen how they sink into the mud of misery and pain and loneliness and lostness, not knowing where they've been or where they're going. No, there is no coercion, but there is always the invitation, come to me, come to me, come to me. We heard it through our lives, and I will give you peace, and I will give you rest. And if you haven't done so, I plead with you in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ. It is not too late. You can still do so and rejoice in the unforced rhythms of grace that only God can give. So since God is present everywhere, we know that now. When we talk about the presence of God, we are not talking about a little appearance here and a little appearance there. We are talking about coming to the realization of God's presence. God's always there. And if you and I act as if God doesn't exist, oh, we will miss the depth, the intimacy, the joy of being in tune with the infinite. Yes, God's always there. Problem is that most people do not realize it until they discover that God is alive. Have you made that discovery? Immerse yourself in your faith with the reality of God in your life. Jesus says elsewhere, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. And Jesus said, don't worry about missing out. You will also find that all your everyday human concerns will be met. Many years ago, I had the joy and the privilege of working with a most gifted organist. Hey, not only one. I've known many of them, Betty, you, many others, through the years. This one was special, maybe because of the story that I'm about to tell. We had a beautiful, huge pipe organ. And all who visited or came to church heard him and spoke of his talent, how he took a joy in his work. And he had that ability to lift our spirits with music, to soar above the clouds. Till one day, there came an unexpected phone call. And he said to me, for once I cannot come to you. Would you come? I've got something to talk to you about. That was after a few weeks that he couldn't be in church. I went and found him very ill. He gave me the shattering news that the doctors had told him that he had a very short time to live. I'll never forget that day. We spoke for a long time. We spoke about life. We spoke about death. We spoke about sin. We spoke about forgiveness. We spoke about misery. We spoke about hope. And then he told me, he said, I want to tell you how my life was changed. And I first became aware of God's presence and amazing grace. He said it happened one day while he was practicing on the pipe organ in the sanctuary. And from the corner of his eye, he caught a little bird trapped inside, flew in from a window, helplessly fluttering, seeking a way out. And he says that finally, in utter exhaustion, the little bird landed on the floor, not dead, but obviously had given up hope. And then our organist went up to the little bird, softly, slowly, knelt down, reached out his hands, picked up the fallen bird, carried it to the window, opened his hands, and set it free. He says, the bird flapped its wings and flew away joyfully, free to fly and climb the heights once again. And then I saw the tears in his eyes. This is exactly what happened to me, he said, when I was diagnosed. I was going to leave it out, but let me say it anyway, with AIDS. He says, I was broken. I was torn apart emotionally. I was trying this way and that to find a solution. I was trying to bargain with God. And then one day, completely exhausted, not knowing what to do, he said, I landed into the loving hands of God. Maybe in my words for today, I would say, I became aware that God isn't just a word. God is a reality, and God is there, and that God loves. He says, and there and then God healed me and cured me of my brokenness and made me whole. There God set me free to fly the heights again. Anxiety became peace and fear disappeared when God took over. At that sad funeral, I told the touching story of a little bird that found a friend and an open window, finally free to touch the face of God. It only took a trapped little bird to lead our late organist into the outstretched arms of a loving God. Oh, the amazing, unforced rhythms of grace, God's grace, that still lead us out of darkness into light. You want to ask me, what is true freedom? What is real liberty all about? At that funeral, I announced that my friend had discovered God and that there was nothing to fear, ever. It's come to the table of the Lord. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Amen.